I've got prostate cancer, but I really wanted to make it to the big game with my grandson. And here we are. Go, 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 go! Go.
With ERLEADA, apalutamide, being there is possible. ERLEADA is a prescription medicine used to treat prostate cancer that has spread to other parts of the body and still responds to a medical or surgical treatment that lowers testosterone. ERLEADA may cause serious side effects, including heart disease, stroke, or severe skin reactions, which can lead to death, falls, fractures, and seizure. Seek immediate medical attention if you experience symptoms of a stroke or severe rash. ERLEADA can cause harm to or loss of an unborn baby. Common side effects were fatigue, joint pain, rash, decreased appetite, weight loss, high blood pressure, hot flash, and diarrhea. Ask your doctor if ERLEADA is right for you. Or tap this ad to visit ERLEADA.com, CP43-9267-V1.
I think it is extremely important for you to start on social media, just get out there, start posting. Sometimes for everyone listening, you know, you don't know exactly what to do, what to post, but you have to just be consistent with it.
Hello, everybody. This is Jake Senziano, host of the Jake and Gino podcast. With my co-host, a multifamily mentor, the coach, chef, father, six best-selling author, Mr. Don't Get Scared, Gino Barbo. Gene, how's it going?
Mr. Salmon Boy, love the color shirt. Oh, the hair's good. Man. You got a lot of goop in the hair. You're looking great, my friend. How you doing?
Dude, if it ain't gooped up, it ain't happening, all right? It ain't happening, Gino. So, hey, we have a very special guest today. Today's guest bought her first investment property at 18 years old. Gino, I wouldn't qualify for a cell phone at 18. I don't qualify for much. That's impressive. She is now a full-time commercial investor using her experience to create passive and scalable investing opportunities. Keyword scalable there. Very nice. So without further ado, Britt Arneson, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
All right. So let's get into this because, again, 18 years old, I'm not qualifying for jack. How did you get into an investment property at 18 years old and it's from there scale into commercial investments?
Well, the house was a $25,000 house. So that was the purchase price. So it wasn't a crazy mortgage or anything. I actually bought it cash. And this is already a weird story right off the hop.
Bling, bling. Coming 18 with 25 G's. All right. What were you doing? Some legal stuff there? What? What's going on?
Well, it all started with food poisoning. So I got a really bad food poisoning when I was a kid. I was 6 years old and at this big Christmas party. And everyone at the restaurant, they cooked these turkeys halfway through, left them overnight, and then cook them the rest of the way the next day. So as you could all tell, that didn't end so great. However, everybody who got super sick got an insurance payout.
So, wow. Now that's a smart way to use it instead of going and buying a stupid car. Wow. Good for you. That's insightful.
Oh, absolutely. And it was interesting too, because it was not a ton of information. My mom owned rental properties, so I could understand, like, she got us to help her work on some renovation projects when we were growing up. So I kind of understood that in a way, and that I wanted to have this income coming in. And I kind of always knew, I was always that entrepreneur kid. So I didn't want this 9-to-5 job, even though that was the direction I ended up taking. But I knew eventually I wanted to get out of it. And I liked the idea of having properties to just pay me every month, even though I truly didn't understand it at that point, which almost is a benefit because it really cuts out that analysis paralysis. It was just, this house is $25,000. It makes $850, I think, a month rent. So simple math. Like, it makes sense. It's going to be paid off in a few years and then just have income coming in.
Do you still own the house? Do you still own the house? All right. So as a former food operator who owned the restaurant, that is a no-no. You don't leave anything out overnight. Salmonella, anything between the zone of like 60 and 120 degrees, you're going to get bacteria. So for all of you cooking at home, do not leave anything out. Our bodies are resilient. But Jake, things can happen, Jake, right?
I tend to just eat it. I roll a dice quite too much.
So, Britt, I have to ask you, the mindset, where did you develop that mindset? Because most 18-year-olds, most 48-year-olds are not mature enough to say, I need to buy an asset. Seriously. Where did you, at 18 years old, develop that mindset to say, hey, I'm all in, I'm going to buy myself an asset to cash flow?
Well, that's a good question. I do think from my parents, and they were always savers too. So it was always like, you don't just go out and blow money. You save everything you can and work really hard. They're both extremely hard workers. So I think that was a huge benefit for me, and just having that savings and then just spending it on smart things. They're not flashy people and didn't spend money on things like that, but just smart investments. So I think that really did help. And then I didn't have ambition to buy a car or anything like that. I did have the ambition to go traveling, which I did do afterwards, but it was still like couch surfing and hostels and that. So I traveled the world kind of doing that on a budget, which was awesome too. But I always was in that mindset of just kind of saving and spending my money wisely. So
my next question, I guess, for everyone out there listening, before I ask the question, it's you parents out there that set the tone.
Yeah.
Boom.
It's us as the responsibility junkies. If we're telling our kids to save, but we're driving around in Mercedes and we're living month to month as a paycheck, are our kids going to listen to us? No.
You're so the example.
Jake is doing, exactly. We are the example. We are the role models. So it's very important that we act as role models.
Not what you say, it's what you do.
Exactly. And they feed off of that. Children feed off of that. They need discipline, Jake. They need to have fences around them, and they keep expanding those fences out, expanding their minds, and to develop that growth mindset. Britt, the next question is, did you go to college and do the 4-year route and go into the corporate world?
Well, not 4 years, but I did get a power engineering certificate. So it wasn't a ton of schooling, and that's why I went for it, because I'm not really this in school structure person. I'm kind of just like, okay, ideas, let's go do it. So it was a 6-month program, got my power engineering certificate, and I got that in order to make the money in order to qualify for mortgages to buy more property.
What is a power engineering certificate? Like, this sounds like some He-Man would get. What is this?
I know. Well, power engineering is what I got into. I worked in that for 6 months, and it was a good job. I liked it. I was fixing big machinery, so it was a lot of just hands-on work and doing that sort of thing, but it wasn't what I wanted to do. And
where'd you get that from?
Where'd
you get the certificate from? Yeah.
It's just a college in Canada, just a smaller kind of college here.
So that actually helped you qualify for loans, you're saying?
Yeah. So that was kind of the intention behind it, because I could make a good income and have this good income coming in, but then be able to qualify for those bigger mortgages. So that was
and be a steamboat captain.
Yes, a steamboat. That's
exactly right. That's what Jake's mind goes to. He's always thinking about playing with toys and doing steam generation. And he, you know, give him a chainsaw and that's it. Call it a day. So Britt, what was the transition after that? You got into the job, you worked for 6 months. Were you continuing to look for deals? And how long did you stay at that job and go into the next deal?
Well, that job, it did have a lot of downtime. So it's kind of when the emergencies came up, like, oh, something's broken, you have to go fix it. So I get called to, but other than that, it was kind of like, you know, cleaning if you can, but if you don't have anything else, like do whatever you want. So I was really heavily researching real estate. And that's when I kind of found the podcast and did a coaching program and all that sort of stuff. So I was like, okay, it was light bulbs going off, because I had the property. I had two properties.
How old were you at this time?
20.
Fantastic. 23. That's great.
Something like that. So I was just like, and then, so through this, I went to a real estate seminar, and then I had a mentor that kind of told me, okay, you have three properties now, you want to get into real estate, but you have to build some form of credibility for yourself. You have to get out there, start a newsletter, start a blog, like start something. So I started this blog. It was called Little Investments on the Prairie, because I'm in the prairies in Saskatchewan, and I had these tiny houses. So I called it Little Investments on the Prairie and started writing. Writing didn't end up being my thing, but then I found Instagram. So I thought this could work. I like photos, I like videos and that sort of thing. So I take photos and videos of my renovation properties and really started to get myself out there online. So
Brick, is it safe to say that industry is dominated by men?
Yes.
So can you just talk to me
what
about
industries
that?
You know,
the steam generation, like, you know, all the heavy machinery, all gotcha. Whether it's plumbers, steam fitters, how is that? Because that, to me, it seems as if that built resiliency to you, because commercial real estate is dominated by the males, and most women can say to themselves, I can't do that. It's done by men, but you didn't do that. So let's dive into that mindset of, you know, you're surrounded by 30 guys in a job site. There may be another woman around you. And what was that like? How did you overcome that mindset and continue to work through that?
That's a good point. And it's funny, because in my class and everything, there's me and one other girl. So it was always definitely that way. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, and then in the job itself, of course, that's how it is. But I just never really thought about it. I just am myself, and I just kind of keep being productive and being a hard worker, and everyone respected that. And I never had any problems with it, but I just didn't care. Just like, I think that just going in with confidence and just going in knowing that you're gonna maybe have some issues, maybe not, but I think just going in there with the confidence and doing your best work and trying to, yeah, that's kind of, I never even think about it. It's funny because it is a thing, right? But I just kind of do what I want to do.
Well, you're making a lot of great points here, Jake. First thing is, it's not a thing unless you make it a thing. And now society makes everything a thing, and we always want to complain about the things. People see the world as they are, not as it is sometimes. And Britt didn't even notice it. I just pointed out because I don't notice either.
She's just kicking down doors, Gino.
That's right. You can use it as a crutch. And most people do use it as a crutch. But if you want to pursue your dreams, don't think about you being the minority in an industry. If you are, think of yourself as competing with others and trying to get better with others. And that's what Britt did. And that was just a launching point from that position to the next position in commercial real estate, which is dominated in the multifamily by men. Not as much anymore. When we first started out, Jake and I would say it was between 80 and 90% at our first live event. The next one was 75%. The third one was probably 65 male, 35 female. And I don't think the males or the females, the ones who are really out there doing it, diving into it, working hard, even see that. So for everyone out there trying to bucket us, and it doesn't make a difference. It really makes a difference on how hard you work. And the job that Britt's doing, that's power generation, whatever He-Man, whatever Jay calls it, that's a tough job, right? I mean, that's really hard work. So putting in that hard work, transitioning into, you know, investing probably gave you that mindset. So let's dive into it. When did you leave that job and go into real estate?
Yes, I left that job pretty quickly because I was like, okay, what can I do here? So I got a big line of credit. It was a $75,000 line of credit. So I used that, and these properties around, I always was looking outside of my city. So I look in kind of the smaller centers because there is still really great rents, but low purchase prices. So I kind of just thought that made a lot of sense. And there's still tons of industry out that way and people looking to rent. So the demand is there, and it's a diverse industry. So there's lots going on. And I just got that line of credit and bought properties, refinanced, did that buy, rehab, rent, refinance, repeat, the BRRRR method, and just kind of started snowballing from there.
Jake, but what do you call that? You call that BRRRR method? What is that called, Jake?
BRRRR. I call it refine roll, but BRRRR.
It's a lot easier. It's cool.
When you're north of the wall up there in Canada, it's BRRRR, right? You're cold, right, Gina?
Just refine roll. And then you're continuing to refine roll. And then when you start scaling up, because in your bio, you said you scale. When do you start scaling up and start implementing systems into your business?
Well, that took a long time and a lot of work because I was just kind of, and it was always this limiting belief for me because I would always just tell myself, well, I'm not a business person. I look at these people, put them on pedestals and be like, well, I'm not them. I didn't go to university, blah, blah, blah. Tell myself all these things. Like, I'm never going to have employees. That's just not who I am. So I'm just going to do my little DIY renovations and kind of make it work from there. But once I really started, it was kind of mindset coaching that helped me through this, because if you tell yourself this every day, like, I'm not a business person, I'll never have systems and scale, I just don't know how to do it. And then you just ignore it forever. But it really got me thinking, okay, I really can do this. I could do whatever I want and I can be whoever I want to be. It might have to be in partnerships or hiring the right people. But the book Who Not How as well was really helpful by Dan Sullivan, strategic coach, I think.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But that, you know, getting out of that mindset, because I had so many limiting beliefs that just weren't allowing me to scale and get out of my comfort zone. But once I started focusing on that, I started hiring out employees all through Instagram, by the way, too, which is pretty cool. But and then I really got, because I've always wanted to get into the commercial side of things, but I just got really stuck in the DIY because I branded myself that way as well on Instagram, doing all my own renovation work. And I do all these before and after and all these videos. And that's kind of what I became known for. So then I had a hard time breaking out of that to get into what I really wanted to do, which was commercial real estate.
Behaviors are belief driven. Remember that, everyone. Write that down on your wall. If you can believe you can do it, you will figure out a way to do it. And it's really true. Let's talk about the DIY. I mean, I love that scaling up. Do you have any tips for us, anyone listening out there, to use, whether it's Instagram, whether it's Facebook, whether it's YouTube, to use social media to grow your brand? Because you've really created an amazing brand. And from there, you can just pivot that and start creating a commercial brand. Do you have any tips for us?
Yeah. And that is hard. The transition is hard, but I think it is extremely important for you to start on social media. Just get out there, start posting. Sometimes for everyone listening, you know, you don't know exactly what to do, what to post, but you have to just be consistent with it. Mm-hmm. And for me, I had no idea. I was kind of posting, oh, here's a photo of a kitchen, or here's like photo of me traveling. And I didn't really know. But once you start posting, you see what sticks and what's connecting. I think the more authentic you could be and really putting yourself out there, you don't have to be, it doesn't have to be a highlight reel. You can talk about the struggles with it. So I think that builds a deeper connection with your audience. And if you are on Instagram, using the Instagram stories and showing the behind the scenes and the day to day, like I have my little tripod here, which my computer is sitting on right now as I'm doing this podcast. And it's like a roll of 24 toilet paper rolls, because I'm just like trying to get the computer higher. And then I'll post about that. Be like, ha, my new tripod stand. Like, just like show a little bit of behind the scenes and show your.
Well, going back to last year, that would be an expensive tripod stand. I think the, you know, the demands, like, you know, kind of leveled out a little bit, but I mean, that was a, yeah, that was a golden tripod stand. So you're doing all right for yourself.
Fancy. Yeah.
So we talk about, let me recap that for everyone. Number one, to be consistent. That's very, very important. Write that down. Number two is to be authentic. Be yourself. If you're not swearing and you want to be Gary V, don't be the Gary V. Be the Britain. Be the Jake. That's important. Number three, show struggles. Okay, it's great you close a 200 unit deal, but how many times you've been rejected with LOIs and rejected by brokers? It's very, very important. And what you said, number four, maybe you just show it behind the scenes. Show it behind the scenes. Show the people that you're working on. Have I missed anything there? You want to add anything else to that?
No, I think that was great. I like that little summary recap. My mind kind of goes in this big circle, so I like when someone can hear it.
I got to do that for Jake, because Jake reads more than one or two lines.
For me.
He goes all over the place, so I got to really bullet point it for him. So I just rip it down. And
hey,
I,
you
and
gave
I,
me that. You gave me that technique though, where you follow your finger on it. That helped a little bit. All right, Gina. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, but after four lines, you're like, dude, this is just too much content. Give me the audible, right? Just feed me the audio. So, Britt, how did you get that first deal? We're talking about the multifamily. Can you walk us through that first 14 unit deal, whether you raised capital? How did you find it? How is it performing now?
Well, so that one, it was a 2-year period of time where I kind of, I read the book Crushing It in Apartments and Commercial Real Estate by Brian Murray. And so I read that book, and then I kind of really started to think about commercial real estate. So I started just analyzing deals nonstop. I would look, so on MLS, and in Canada, it's called Kijiji, but it's kind of like your Craigslist. So a lot of owners would just post their deals on that. So I'd find, and I started creating, this is kind of a system, I'm proud of myself, but I started creating this list of owners of these apartment buildings, and then would try follow up every once in a while. But I was kind of scared at the for a long period of time to actually go forward with anything because of that side, like getting the financing and all this sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. So after a while, it was just following up with these owners. And then this apartment was $450,000 for a 14 unit building. Mm-hmm. And so cash flow is around $7,000 now a month. So It's awesome. I love it. So in the renovation phase and everything too. So I renovated four of the units myself, but then kind of just to save some cash to, instead of hiring out all the work. But now I'm just at this point, it's just everything is hired out, which is awesome because it allows me to scale into bigger things. But that was kind of the.
How did you finance the deal? Did you use your line of credit? Did you use investors? What did that look like?
No, got a mortgage, which it was a 30-year amortization at 1.45% financing or interest. Sorry.
So what? They gave you free money. Basically.
How'd you get 1%?
I know. Well, it was low income housing. So this loan was actually backed by the government. So it's called CMHC loan. And so I got this mortgage for this crazy low interest rate. And it's just,
they're like, please just run this place for us. Wow. That is crazy.
Yeah.
So I got to walk this through for everybody. Cause for $7,000 a month in cash flow, most people would say that's enough money to retire off of. You're in college, you're 18 years old, you buy your first home. I usually do the recap at the end, but I want to actually shatter everybody's limiting belief right now. Because if you say you don't have enough money, if you say you're too young, if you say you don't have any skill, then you haven't been listening for the last 20 minutes. 18 years old, buys a $25,000 home. I've been there. I've bought a $60,000 duplex. So I feel the pain in that. but you it's proof of concept. It works. I'm getting money in. People are paying me. I remember the inflection point when Jake, we bought our first property, 25 units. He comes home. He's got cash. He can smell the cigarettes.
Paid in cash at this place. It was a disaster.
But all of a sudden, you're locked in. I can do it. That first deal makes me money. I see the proof of concept. And then continuing on, getting into the single family space, having the line of credit, getting the job, being able to qualify. It's a transition. It's a work in progress. And then all of a sudden, a 14-unit property, there's no deals out there. I can't get financed. 30-year, 1.45%. Government's giving you money. And now you're cash flowing $7,000 a month. And everybody, Jake always makes the point, it only takes one. Britt's got her one now. And from there, she's going to probably have momentum. Well, let's discuss the continuum of the journey. You have the momentum. You bought that one. You have the proof of concept. You're making enough money probably to pay all of your bills. So you don't have to worry about going to a job. You probably, I don't know about the cost segregation if there's up in Canada, but if you had cost seg, you would probably pay no taxes, whatever. Go forward. What does the next deal look like? What do you do after you see the, wow, Nirvana, I'm making this much money off a little 14-unit property. Sky's the limit. Where do we go next?
Well, that absolutely was the case too with that light bulb with the 14 unit because I had 13 single families. So then when I got that 14, I was like, whoa, this is
how long did it take to do the 13 single families?
From when I was 18 to, I guess, 26.
So 8 years and then boom, 1 year you buy, you basically outpaced them by one with one deal.
Wow. Yeah. And then it was like that I could understand it right when I was reading these books and everything. And then but actually getting that deal and realizing how much easier it is to just buy one for one 14 unit instead of doing those, all those singles.
Say that again for everybody out there. No, I'm serious. This is important. And all the fence sitters, I want them to hear this too, because 10 years, 30 units. Okay. And using Instagram, but seriously, tell what'd you just say a minute ago?
Yeah, well, I just really realized that light bulb went off when I bought the one, and then it was so much easier and more passive and more scalable once you do the bigger deals. And that was it.
And if your mindset is I can buy one single family house right now, and that's really the best you can do, do it. Mm-hmm. Okay, but realize you're going to be able to grow from there. And I think some people have to do it. Like, you know, we started with a 25 unit, and then we started scaling up from there because we realized, look, 25 to 100, 200, it's all the same stuff, really. It just gets easier the bigger you go because you can bring a team with you. So that's a great point.
And Jake and Britt, I think that's the point, Jake. You don't know what you don't know. And then all of a sudden you start doing things, and then all of a sudden you start surrounding yourself, and all of a sudden Britt's got a 14-unit deal, and her you know, her family, her friends start saying, well, what are you doing? How can I be part of this? And then all of a sudden she starts building out her team. And she starts getting investors because people are always worried about where the money comes. Don't worry where the money comes. First, you need the experience and you need the education. And then you can start worrying about the money and start worrying about the deals. But if you don't do the deals. So from that 14 unit, what's the next step? What is the next evolution?
Well, from there, I went to a mastermind with Brandon Turner from Bigger Pockets. Mm-hmm. So he had a small group, it was 20 people, and we did this mastermind in Maui. And then I started meeting these mentors that I've been listening to for so long, and a mega imposter syndrome. I'm like, I don't know how I got here. This is so crazy. But then did this mastermind, and that completely shifted everything for me because I was around these people who are doing huge things in the industry. And then I could, I felt like it was more tangible. I could do it too. And I just had the support from everyone and everyone kind of cheering me on. So I decided that's the direction, the commercial real estate route was kind of the way I wanted to go. And I didn't really want to do the DIY stuff as much as anymore. I do like that kind of work, but then my mindset just completely expanded after going to that mastermind. So that was awesome.
So you would say investing in your education is really important. Would you say that was one of the keys to and surrounding yourself and increasing your peer group? The quality of your peer group probably changed everything for you. Would you say that is true?
Absolutely, 100%. I think it's so important to right off the bat too. If I did that mindset coaching 2 years ago when I was kind of scared to get into the multifamily world, I think it would have sped me along a lot quicker than trying to get through these limiting beliefs.
What was scary about multifamily to you at the time?
I think just the price points, because I was so used to buying these kind of smaller houses under 50,000 or whatever. That was kind of my strategy for a while. But then after learning about multifamily and kind of understanding how much more scalable and passive it could be, that's kind of where I started to shift that mindset, but I think it was just a comfort zone thing. I think I was just scared to get out of it. And then I would always tell myself, well, I built my brand around this DIY stuff. I have to keep doing that forever in order to, you know, grow my Instagram and then do more deals. But I think it was just a lot of limiting beliefs.
What do your friends and family say while you're going through this journey? And what do they say now after you've had that inflection point?
I think it's kind of strange for them, especially with a following, I guess, because sometimes I get recognized and they're like, what? Like, strange or whatever. But I think they're really proud of everything. Everyone's been super supportive. I'm lucky in that. I didn't have a lot of people telling me I couldn't do it. Most people would say you can kind of do whatever you want if you work at it. So I think I'm very lucky in that with my friends and family. But if they're not that way, then I just don't really associate. I always try to surround myself with those positive growth mindset people. So
I love that. Last long question. What is in your future? What do you really want to focus on going forward? You talk about self-storage as opportunities in that niche.
Yeah. So I partnered with AJ Osborne, who is an operator in self-storage, as you know, AJ.
Yeah.
He's awesome guy. He's so he was at the Maui Mastermind. That's when I met him. But I heard a podcast that he did a few years before, and I was like, this is so cool. And that's where I started thinking about. I thought about storage from when I was 18 as well. It was kind of always in the back of my mind. I think there's just someone in my town that had storage and they were wealthy. My dad's like, this might be a good idea eventually. So I always kind of had it in the back of my mind. And then I heard AJ do a podcast, and he was talking about this $13 million equity deal that he did and turned this super Kmart into this storage facility and had this crazy. And then that really got me thinking, wow, there's so much potential for value add and conversions and doing all this crazy stuff in commercial. Mm-hmm. And the value of it is based on the net operating income rather than single family home, where it's kind of based on what someone's willing to pay for it kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So that really got me thinking about storage. And then during the Mountain Mastermind, we started talking a lot, doing a lot of social media stuff and promotions and all that. And now he's growing his portfolio so quickly and looking for investors. And that's kind of where I came in on the capital raising side. So raising money for self-storage deals. And so we're on the third one now.
Love that. And everyone out there who's complaining about, oh, I can't pay X amount of money to go to a mastermind, or why would I pay for mentorship? It's not the education. It's you're surrounding yourself with amazing people. And Britt has met her partner there. She actually heard him and met him. And all of a sudden they've created a relationship that's going to impact her for the rest of her life. It only takes one deal. It only takes one relationship. That's all it takes, everybody. Stop making excuses. That's going to cost you money. You're investing in yourself. That's the most important thing that you can do. So get out there and stop making excuses.
Well, and I think it's good to point out too that we all do it. Every successful real estate investor, I know everybody's a part of these mastermind groups and everyone's going to these education things and doing coaching and all of that. So I think it's just such a key part of it.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Absolutely.
Let's take a quick time out to hear from our sponsor.
Gino, I know a lot of our listeners are wanting to take their multifamily investing business to the next level. I know that you've been hard at work helping Jake and Gino students do just that using our framework. Can you explain to the listeners how they can get our help?
Guys, we've been hard at work growing our community of like-minded investors, and the results of our members has been nothing short of incredible. We're looking to grow this amazing group. What we're looking for is those who want to follow our proprietary framework that we've created. Buy right, manage right, and finance right. Leverage our connections, education, and mentorship as ways to take your business to the next level.
So if you're interested in finding out more about how you can become a part of our amazing community, apply to work with us at jakeandgino.com/apply.
All right, we are back. So big question, when's the HGTV show? Come on, I see it. You know, I see it in your future. Tell me what's going on
in
there.
Self-storage, yes.
Storage, let's do it. That'd be different. That'd be fun.
Well, no, like I like really was confident you were gonna say, well, it's like you know, in the fall here. So no plans, nothing.
I can't tell you that.
Oh, sneak early. All right, we're gonna sit on that one. Talk about the importance of the social media and how important it's been for capital raising, because it's interesting. I feel like we, before the show, we were checking yours out and you've used the renovation stuff, but you know, you kind of showing like the before and afters, but you're leveraging that to literally raise money for deals now. You know, kind of talk about the evolution of that and why that's so important.
Yeah. Well, I think social media, I didn't really realize where it was going to go or where it was going to get me, but I had that one mentor say you have to build that credibility. So just really being consistent throughout the years. And I started with the renovation because that's what I was doing, showing a lot of behind the scenes, and that connected to a lot of people. But then I never would have expected for it to be what it is now. And AJ actually told me a few years back, because I was actually buying my own self-storage deals in Canada. And I was looking at this deal and I didn't know how to get past this like big capital raise. And he said, just throw it out there, see if anyone would be interested. So I threw out on my Instagram stories you could do these little question box where you can enter your email. So I just said, if anyone's interested to partner with me on deals now or in the future, put your email in. I've never done anything like that before. And I got 300 emails and I was just blown away by that. I was like, whoa.
That is incredible.
Crazy. So, I mean, that opened my mind again, because unless you try it and put it out there, then you never know. So I think it was a 400, and I remember just one specific deal. I think this is actually a multifamily before I got the 14 unit, but I was looking to raise 400,000 or have a financial partner or something like that. And I just thought that was an insane amount of money. I just never thought 400,000, I could never do that. And now it's been like close to 3 million of capital raised to this day with the self storage deals. But back then, a few years ago, I never would have imagined it would be like that over Instagram. So it's just, you never know until you actually put it out there and try. So I think social media is so crucial, and a lot of people don't focus on it because it is a lot of work. It truly is. But the amount of doors that open for you and the network you could build for yourself is very important, especially in the commercial space. As we know, it's a team sport. So
100%. How are you balancing? It seems like there's been an evolution from the DIY stuff to more, you know, self-storage now. How are you balancing your content with your audience now that it's kind of been a transition for you?
Well, that was funny too, because I was very nervous to post my, and I have so much content from the DIY because I've taken 30,000 photos and videos on my phone. And this is all done by me, by the way, like all my social, all growing everything, doing the work, it was DIY everything, including the editing videos and all of this stuff. So I was just doing it just because that's all I really knew how to do before hiring.
DIY, social media and home renovations. Got it. Yes.
a lot of time in that, but it was so great to be able to build that. And when I started to transition out of doing the renovation work, which I still do a little bit of, because I do like the projects and I do really enjoy it. And I like to give people what they want to see. They want to know how to do these renovations. So I'm still enjoy doing that. But then when I posted my first Instagram post on self-storage, I was super nervous about it. And I was just talking about this development deal that we were doing in storage. And when I made the post, it was one of my best performing posts.
So they didn't turn on you. They rolled the dice and it was okay. You're like, oh man, what's the feedback going to be? Right. I got you.
Yeah. And I was nervous to make that transition, but it proved that a lot of the time they are interested in the person too, and seeing that journey and transformation. Right. So they like to see the story rather than, it might not necessarily be exactly what you're doing, but they connect to the person, not necessarily to the work or anything like that. So, and just trying to provide that value and help other people out. So.
What about a tip for someone starting to scale? Because you went from the solopreneur to now doing, you know, syndications and things. Give the folks out there, you know, for someone that's kind of, we call it the I'm a mentality. I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna do everything. Give somebody a tip and you know, for scaling during that transition.
Well, it's hard, and I think it is a process. And for me, it was just always drilled into me. Like, my mom is a DIY kind of person. She does everything. It's like, change your own oil, do everything yourself. So that's what I grew up with and what I was very used to. So getting mindset, you have to get your mindset right off the bat. So I think doing whatever I did, kind of a mindset coaching program and things like that. So I think getting, if you are in that way and you are DIY and you are scared of really growing and scaling, because I would always just tell myself, oh, I don't need to get bigger, I don't need more money. Well, like, I would just say these things to myself all the time. But you have to really kind of break that mindset that you're in. So I think that's kind of step number one.
That doesn't sound like good positive self-talk.
Not at all. I mean, I was pretty good, but I just did get stuck in it a little bit. I was just kind of like in this zone because I did enjoy it. That was the other part to it. It was kind of fun doing the renovations all the time and being able to share that online. But the problem was I was building myself into a job. So I had to take a step back and actually look at what I wanted out of real estate. And it wasn't to be tied down to one location doing this work, which was technically just a job I was building for myself. Mm-hmm. So I really had to take a step back and look at the reason why I got into real estate in the first place was more for freedom and being able to do what I wanted to do when I wanted to do it. So that was kind of the transition. But I think that book is really good, Who Not How, just to get out there and really understand that people is what is it's going to take in order to scale. And that's what it's all about, especially if you're looking to get into commercial real estate. Oh, I'll pick that one up. But just getting into commercial real estate, you have to realize it is a team sport, or real estate in general. If you want to grow, if you want to do these things and really enjoy it, you're not going to enjoy every aspect of real estate because it is so diverse. There's a lot of different jobs in it. So I think just getting comfortable with the fact that you probably are going to have to hire out and get a good team around you.
Yeah, 100%. So Who Not How, any other books over the last few years that made a big impact on your life?
That was a really good one. I like The Compound Effect. Is it Darren Hardy? That one. I love that book. And that made a big difference to me. So Compound Effect, Who Not How, I guess The Typical Like Rich Dad Poor Dad is a great start.
What's that one?
Rich Dad Poor Dad, no one's ever heard of it.
I don't know. Gina, you read that one? Or
it's the Purple Bible. That's what everyone
purple
calls
Bible?
It.
So, purple mean, Bible? Yeah. Okay, fair enough. What about a habit for success? Anything that you do on a daily, weekly basis that that you want to share with folks?
Well, I think morning routine is important. And then I have kind of like the journal that I try, because I'm not a routine kind of person, but in order to kind of keep on track towards what you're wanting to do. And also goals, I never really set goals. I still struggle with it a little bit, but I really do try intentionally do it. So being intentional with your time and your days is super important. So getting up in your morning routine, I try to just write down my goals and keep track of my habits and everything in that. And then like the exercise and the healthy diet and everything too, that really helped just, you know, keep on track and keep me excited and moving forward.
What's the best way for folks to get a hold of you if they're looking to, you know, possibly invest or find out more, follow you on social media?
BrittanyArneson.com is my website, but my Instagram is InvestorGirlBrit. And then you could kind of find me through InvestorGirlBrit on all the social media channels.
G-Dad, you got to wrap up, or was it early in the show?
I'm going to wrap. There's a lot to wrap up here, my friend. So if you
hang on, Gina, I want to say something before you do. I'm sorry to cut you off. I gave you this momentum and I pulled it right back. But seriously, you know, from the age you started, for the people out there that are sitting on the fence or they consume a lot of content that are not taking action, you have to take action. This is all possible. It's just hard work, rolling up your sleeves and getting out there. Education times action equals results. I think you had a very clearly, you know, positive impact from your parents, which helped out, you know, eating the dirty turkey. That was a good thing ultimately, right? Because that's provided the capital. But gang, if you can do it at 18, look, there's no excuses out there. You just got to find a way to make it happen and get off the fence. Gino, take it away, sir.
Jake, Investor Girl Brit, from a young girl eating a salmonella ridden turkey to her first purchase. $20,000 home, $25,000 home.
Tastes pretty good now.
At the age of 18 and transitioning all the way till 26 years old, where she owned 13 single family homes. And then all of a sudden the light bulb goes off and she purchases 14 units. She doubles her portfolio with one transaction. And I think the big takeaway from that is the mindset growth. It really about the limiting beliefs and about getting coaching. And you can have a fixed mindset where you're sitting there and complaining about, hey, I'm the only woman on this entire job site, and saying they're all men. This is a male dominated sport. I can't get into this. I can't do this. To the growth mindset is, I'm here. What can I learn from this experience? How can I leverage this experience to become better? And that's what the growth mindset is all about. Growing to that 14 units, starting to put content out there, And it's a lot of work, everybody. It's authentic. What did I write down here? I got to write these things down. It's authentic. It's consistent. There's struggles. There's day to day using toilet paper to hold your computer up. That's what it's all about.
In the middle of COVID, right?
Yes. Now she's going to use plywood because plywood's so expensive. So let's go with the plywood. But continuing on and really focusing on and challenging yourself, but putting in the struggle every day, taking those pictures, having 30,000 pictures on your phone. Can you imagine all the work that's involved in that? But then having the realization that
thumb surgery after that.
Yeah. Woo! And then and then saying to yourself that I got into real estate to be able to scale and to be able to live a lifestyle, not to be able to stuck in one location, and having that self-conscious, that awareness to be able to think like that. Most people in their 40s and 50s come to that realization. But being able to realize, everyone, I challenge everyone listening to this to step back. Use Stephen Covey once again. Start with the end in mind. What do you want your real estate journey to look like at the end? Do you want to have an amazing, entrepreneurial business? At Jake and Gino, we create multifamily entrepreneurs. If you want that, are you doing things today to get you there? Like Jake said, you can just start up by buying a single family home. It's not where you start. It's where you want to end up. So start the journey, because there's nobody out there that has zero deals, right, Jake? It's either you don't buy one deal. You either have zero deals or you have multiple deals. So it all starts with that first deal. Don't make excuses about your age, about how much money you have, about anything in life.
Living on the prairie in Canada, north of the wall, right?
30 below zero, probably up there. It probably gets a little chilly up there. I'm in Florida, so anything below 60 degrees, I'm a little bit cold. So I just want to say thanks to Britt for coming on, for sharing her story, and for just shattering all the limiting beliefs. There's no more limiting beliefs for anybody listening to the show, because you can make all the excuses you want. Your behaviors are belief driven. If you believe you can do it, then you can do it. End of story.
Yeah. And Gino, I ain't scaring nobody. Okay. I'm not scaring anybody in the beginning of the show. All right. Britt, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks
for having me, guys. This is awesome.
I've got prostate cancer, but I really wanted to make it to the big game with my grandson. And here we are. Go, go, go!
With ERLEADA, apalutamide, being there is possible. ERLEADA is a prescription medicine used to treat prostate cancer that has spread to other parts of the body and still responds to a medical or surgical treatment that lowers testosterone. ERLEADA may cause serious side effects, including heart disease, stroke, or severe skin reactions, which can lead to death, falls, fractures, and seizure. Seek immediate medical attention if you experience symptoms of a stroke or severe rash. ERLEADA can cause harm to or loss of an unborn baby. Common side effects were fatigue, joint pain, rash, decreased appetite, weight loss, high blood pressure, hot flash, and diarrhea. Ask your doctor if ERLEADA is right for you. Or tap this ad to visit ERLEADA.com, CP43926 7V1.